Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 13, The Advent of Lord Chaitanya, Texts 62 through 65. So I will read 62 through 64 myself, and then we will chant 65 together. Lord Krishna, Vrajendra Kumar, first caused countless devotees to appear, and at last he appeared himself. Before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees of Navadvip used to gather in the house of Advaita Acharya. In these meetings of the Vaishnavas, Advaita Acharya used to recite Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, decrying the paths of philosophical speculation and fruitive activity, and establishing the super excellence of devotional service. Text 65. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In all the revealed scriptures of Vedic culture, devotional service to Lord Krishna is explained throughout. Therefore, devotees of Lord Krishna do not recognize the processes of philosophical speculation, mystic yoga, unnecessary austerity, and so-called religious rituals. They do not accept any process but devotional service. Purport. Our Krishna consciousness movement follows this principle. We do not recognize any method for spiritual realization other than Krishna consciousness, devotional service. Sometimes we are criticized by groups following jnana, yoga, tapas or dharma. But fortunately, we are unable to make any compromises with them. We simply stand on the platform of devotional service and preach the same principles all over the world. Om Jnana Timiram Dasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganda Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद In the verses preceding this one, in the beginning of this chapter, or rather in the middle portion of this chapter, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has explained that before the Lord advents, many of his associates come before him to prepare the ground for his advent. And finally, Krishna comes into this material world. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, as Kaviraj Goswami mentions here, in Navadvip there were some devotees, not that many, but there were some, and their leader was Advaita Acharya. And the Vaishnavas would gather at the house of Advaita Acharya, where he would give discourses on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Naturally, they were very learned discourses, full of devotion. The Acharya there would bring out the conclusions of pure devotional service at every opportunity and would emphasize this and would decry the other non-devotional processes of spiritual realization, like the paths of impersonal realization, Jnana Yoga, or the paths of fruitive activity, karma, or mystic yoga, and so on. And then Kaviraj Goswami says in the verse that we are discussing today, that actually in all the scriptures, it is the principle of devotional service that is ultimately described. This is the essence of all Vedic scriptures. Therefore, devotees of Krishna do not recognize any process other than the pure devotional service to Krishna as a bona fide spiritual process that can be followed in this day and age. And this, of course, appears every now and then. It is a subject of much misconception and misunderstanding. In India, it is very common to find people have some little understanding or misunderstanding of spiritual matters, and they feel that the process of devotional service or bhakti is meant for those who are neophytes, and especially for those who are sentimental people. For people who are intellectual, there is the path of jnana. And for those who are very active, there's the path of karma, karma yoga. So these are all different types of misunderstandings. However, bhakti is not just for sentimental people. Bhakti is actually meant for the most intelligent people, the most capable people. There's a little story that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would sometimes say. One time there was a lady who had a young son who had just moved into the 7th year of school, and she wanted that he should become academically very good and should become a very successful person afterwards. So she hired a tutor to teach him mathematics, because mathematics was a tough subject for this boy. So the tutor began teaching the boy in all earnest. And one time the tutor was teaching him geometry. So he was teaching the boy, let ABC be a triangle. You all remember from your school geometry, yes? Teachers used to say, let ABC be a triangle. So this lady was not much educated. So she happened to be passing by, and she heard the teacher saying A, B, C. So she was enraged. She came to the teacher and said, my son is in the 7th grade in school and you're teaching A, B, C? This is something that he learned so many years ago. You're not a good mathematics teacher, so I fire you from this job. And the poor teacher tried to explain, but this lady was not in a mood to understand or listen. So he lost his job. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that this is something like people in this modern age. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. People in today's age, they consider that Bhakti Yoga is just something very elementary. It's very preliminary. It's just meant for those people who are in the kindergarten of spiritual life, so to speak. But when you become advanced, then you should go to the paths of Jnana and Yoga and so on. Bhakti Yoga teaches you only to become a servant of the Lord. But actually, the idea is Aham Brahmasmi. I am spiritual. In fact, I am the Supreme. So we should cultivate this mentality. So this is the misconception. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, through this little anecdote, tries to explain this misconception. The Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, explains at various places how the principle of pure devotional service is always supreme. For example, etavan sankhya yoga abhyam swadharma parinishthaya janma labha parapunsam ante narayana smritihi. It's said in the Bhagavatam that the perfection of sankhya yoga, which is the process of discriminating between matter and spirit by analysis and so on, or yoga, or the process of perfectly performing one's duties in the Varnashrama Dharma, by performing the fruitive activities perfectly, the perfection of all of these is ultimately to remember Lord Krishna or Lord Narayan at the time of death with devotion. And that is possible only by Bhakti Yoga, by devotion. So even if one is a yogi or a jnani or a karmi, if one doesn't remember Krishna at the time of death, then his or her life is a failure. A similar verse, etan nirvidyamananam icchatam akuto bhayam yoginam napanirnitam harer namanukirtanam. So whether one is a person who is devoid of all material desires, who has attained transcendental knowledge, whether one is full of material desires, whether one follows the path of mystic yoga or impersonal realization or whatever it may be, the recommended process is the constant chanting of the holy names of Krishna, which is the essence of pure devotional service. So this is emphasized again and again all through the Vedic scriptures and particularly in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Kaviraj Goswami mentions the four processes here. He speaks of Jnana, Yoga, Tapa and Dharma. So let's take up each of these one by one, mention briefly what they are, and then establish how devotional service is superior to them, and ultimately concluding that devotional service is the supreme process. So here the word Jnana is used. Jnana, literally speaking, means knowledge. But we are not against knowledge. We are against knowledge that is opposed to Krishna consciousness. By Jnana, what is referred to here is not just knowledge, but the process by which we speculate philosophically and come to a conclusion that the absolute truth is impersonal, or that everything is zero or void. So the very process or method or reasoning or knowledge by which we come to the conclusion of impersonalism, that is called the path of Jnana or the process of Jnana, of knowledge. In devotional service we also have Jnana, but we have knowledge that nourishes our devotion to Krishna. So we hear about or we learn about the names, the forms, the pastimes, the paraphernalia, the devotees, the abodes, etc. of the Supreme Lord. So that kind of knowledge is, as Prabhupada says, wanted. We need to cultivate such knowledge. but not knowledge that ultimately takes us in the direction of wanting to become God or wanting to merge into the impersonal aspect of God. The four Kumaras, the senior-most sons of Brahma, the Creator, before they became devotees, they were impersonalists. They were Brahmavadis. They relished trying to meditate on or worshipping the impersonal aspect of the Lord, the Brahma Jyoti. But their plus point or their saving grace was that they were not envious of the Supreme Lord. And they didn't try to deny the personality or the form of the Supreme Lord. So one time they came to the gates of Vaikuntha, where they were stopped by the gatekeepers Jai and Vijay. And by the Lord's arrangement, Jai and Vijay stopped them because the Lord wanted some pastimes to happen in the material world. And by the Lord's inspiration, the four Kumaras also got angry. And normally this would not have happened, but because the Lord inspired them from within, so they got angry. And they cursed the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, who were the personal associates of the Lord, to take birth in asuras in the material world. And at that time, when this whole argument was going on, the Lord came rushing outside to see what the commotion was all about. And the Kumaras saw the Lord at that time. And they smelt the fragrance of the tulasi leaves mixed with saffron that was smeared or that was offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. And just by smelling that, their hearts changed and they became devotees. Tasya arvinda nayanasya padarvinda kinjalka mishra tulasi makaranda vayuhu antar gatena vivarena svavivarena chakara jesham sankshobham aksharajushram apichitta tanvoho. So Shukadev Goswami explains this very nicely. He says that tasya meaning to me referring to Krishna, arvinda, tasya arvinda, nayanasya. So he whose eyes are like lotus petals, that is Krishna, at his feet were offered tulasi and saffron. Kinjalka mishra tulasi. Kinjalka means saffron and mishra means mixed. So there was tulasi and saffron that had been offered to the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed Krishna. And when the Lord appeared before the four Kumaras, makaranda vayuhu, so the vayu, that is the breeze that flowed by the lotus feet of the Lord, carried the makaranda or the aroma of the tulasi mixed with saffron. Antargatena svavivarena, and that entered into the nostrils of the four Kumaras. Chakaratesham, once it entered there, sankshobham, chitta tanvo, it agitated the body and the mind of the four Kumaras, who had formerly been aksharajusham. They were self-realized in terms of the impersonal Brahman realization. So they were not ordinary people, they were self-realized souls. But their understanding was limited to the impersonal aspect of the Absolute. But when they came in contact with the lotus feet of the Lord, they smelled the tulasi that had been offered at the Lord's lotus feet, they became devotees. So yes, devotional service is so wonderful, you can even smell your way back to Godhead. What to speak of chanting your way back to Godhead, tasting your way back to Godhead, hearing your way back to Godhead, speaking your way back to Godhead, you can even smell your way back to Godhead. As we're sitting here in the temple room, we can smell the incense that has been offered to the Lord. Can you all smell? There's something coming here. Smell away, smell away. Yes. Of course, if you have asthma, be careful. But yes, you smell the fragrance of the incense and the flowers that have been offered to the Supreme Lord. And be sure that that is destroying all the anarthas in the heart and giving rise to devotion to Krishna. So such a beautiful process. So we may say, well, I've been smelling and smelling for quite a few years, but doesn't seem to be much devotion coming up in the heart. It is coming, just now coming. It's happening. The four Kumaras were exceptionally advanced souls. They were already self-realized. And they were the sons of Brahma. So for them, it just needed that one time of smelling the tulasi offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. There we are, the devotees going offering, smelling flowers, exchanging. So this is such a simple, wonderful process. So even the four Kumaras who were established on the path of jnana, on the path of impersonal worship and realization, they took to devotional service. So which means the devotional service is superior to the process of jnana. Shukadev Goswami was also similarly involved in impersonal realization. Before, by the mercy of Vyasadev, he came to Krishna consciousness. And then he also accepted this. And he, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, recounts that, yes, I was also involved in this. But when I heard the glories of the Lord, then my heart transformed and I became a devotee. So whatever process we may be following, even if it is the process of impersonal speculation, but through any of our senses, if we contact or render devotional service, we can become devotees. There are people who saw the beautiful form of the Lord and became devotees. There are people who heard the glories of the names of the Lord and became devotees. The four Kumaras smelled the tulasi offered to the lotus feet of the Lord and became devotees. And of course, we know so many stories of people who tasted prasadam and became devotees. So through any of the senses that we contact Krishna and devotional service, then we can become devotees. So therefore, the process of devotional service is superior to jnana, as we see in the examples of the four Kumaras and Shukadev Goswami. The next that's mentioned here is yoga. By yoga, it refers to the process of Ashtanga yoga, the eightfold yoga process. Generally today, people think of yoga as meaning some asanas, some exercises, and at the most, some breathing processes. However, there's much more to the process of Ashtanga yoga or Dhyana yoga than just the exercises and the breathing. There's a whole series of do's and don'ts, regulated life, leading up to a very carefully executed meditative processes, and then to increase the meditation upon the Lord in the heart. It's very difficult in this day and age. And people concoct different forms of meditation in this day and age. You know, one time, this is a favorite story of mine, I remember going to some place, some other city in India, and we went for some other purpose. So our host was, he belonged to some particular institution that was an impersonalist institution. And he really wanted us to come to a big temple that they had organized, that they had built. And it was really a grand structure. We were very reluctant, but because he was helping us and we didn't want to upset him, so we went along. And we thought, might as well see what goes on. So when we came to the place, and there was people were standing there, the volunteers, and they wouldn't allow anybody to take anything inside. You just have to go in with whatever clothes you're wearing, and then your mind, because you're supposed to meditate without distraction. So they asked us to keep our bead bags aside. I said, this is a bead bag, chant the name. He said, no, there is silent meditation. So I resigned myself to it. We deposited our bead bags, and then he said, okay, let me chant my mind. Haridas Thakur said, you can try it. So I said, okay, we'll try that. So we went inside, and it was a very nicely air-conditioned auditorium, a circular place, soft, thick carpets. And we had just come in from the hot sun. We were tired. And you had to strain your eyes, and right there in the middle was a little, small little light, very faint glow. And we had been told in advance that we have to sit and focus our attention, half close our eyes and focus on the light there. It was a faint red light. And then we negotiated our way because there were people all over sitting. And then we sat down. And it was really a comfortable place because, you know, air conditioned and soft carpet. And then we said, okay, let's... So then I started looking at the light and thinking, well, it doesn't seem to be much here. So I was just in my mind chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And gradually I started hearing a little bit of accompanying music all around. And there were sounds coming. And all around people were... There were several people who were snoring, not just, you know, one or two. And then I spent the next 5 minutes trying to figure out how many were snoring everywhere. This is the meditation for this age, you know. This is what happens. It's no good. Kali Yuga, our minds are not meant for this. So the process of meditation was meant for Satya Yuga. And in any case, it's not just any kind of meditation to be whimsically done. It's meditation that is on the Lord in the heart. Dhyana vasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. So the Lord is in the heart and we have to think with devotion about Him. Durvasa Muni was one such great mystic yogi, very powerful, known for his short temper and his curses and benedictions equally. So we all know the story of how he came to Maharaj Ambarish and wanted to ultimately cause him harm. And he produced a rakshas, a demon from his hair. And the demon wanted to come and kill Ambarish Maharaj, but Krishna Sudarshan Chakra chased the demon away and burnt it to ashes and finally started chasing Durvasa Muni himself. Durvasa Muni fled for his life. And everywhere he went, nobody was able to help him. He went to all the demigods. Finally, he came to Lord Narayan at the gates of Vaikuntha. And Lord Narayan also said, I'm sorry, I can't help you because you have offended my devotee. You don't know what my devotees are? Let me tell you, you may be a great yogi, my dear Durvasa Muni. You're a great Brahmin. But my devotees are second to none. They are superior to everybody. Aham bhakta paradhino hyasvatantra ivadvija sadhubhir grasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta janapriyaha. My dear Durvasa Muni, O great yogi, I want you to know that I am under the control of my devotees. Aham bhakta paradhinaha. He asvatantra ivadvija, and O Brahmana, I am not independent. I am dependent on my devotees. Sadhubhir grasta hridayo. And I am controlled, my heart is completely controlled by the sadhus. Bhaktair bhakta janapriyaha. Not only my devotees, but even the devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. Sadhavo hridayam mahiyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham mad anyatena jananti naham tebhyo managapi. My dear Muni, O yogi, you should know that the devotees are very dear to me, they are in my heart, and I am very dear to my devotees, and I am in their hearts. They know nothing but me, and I know nothing but them. Therefore, even I am helpless right now to help you. You should go and beg forgiveness from my devotee Ambarish Maharaj, whom you have offended. And finally, with no recourse left, then Durvasa Muni goes there and he begs forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj, who is only too happy to forgive. He says, there's nothing to forgive actually. You are embarrassing me. You are such a great yogi and a renunciant. And I'm just an ordinary householder, a king. What am I in front of you? So that is the nature of a devotee who is very humble. So through this Leela, the Lord personally establishes how devotees are superior to yogis. Of course, not that we should say, well done, I've become a devotee, so I'm superior to yogis, but we should be like Ambarish Maharaj, where we feel, actually, I'm nothing. But philosophically, we should know that the process we have adopted is superior to yoga, jnana and other processes as well. Then the third, the next process that Kaviraj Goswami speaks about is tapaha or austerities. There are many people who are fond of performing austerities. How many of you have been to Kumbh Mela? One, very few. Oh, it's an experience of a lifetime. You will find all kinds of sadhus, all kinds of them. People you could never have imagined, even in your dreams, different types of renunciants, of people doing austerities, and whatnot. There'll be people who have had mauna vrat, or who don't speak for years together. There'll be people who stand on one leg. There'll be people who immerse themselves in water. There are yogis and jnanis, and so on and so forth. So it's the largest religious gathering in the world, you know. Literally hundreds of thousands of people come there. Pilgrims also come. So you'll find people with austerities. And you know, the traditional image, the stereotyped image of India with the yogis lying on beds of nails and all that. You might find a little glimmer of that in Kumbh Mela. You might find some of these personalities over there doing all kinds of things to impress people who come over there. So austerities, yes, on the path of spirituality, some austerity is of course required. Because without austerity, then we will never be able to come to Krishna or make any spiritual advancement. Austerity means to give the body and mind some difficulty voluntarily for the sake of spiritual advancement. However, when austerity is in excess, or it is unnecessary, or it is not connected to devotional service, such austerity is harmful. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada translates tapaha, which is normally austerity, as unnecessary austerity. This is also very important for us to know. Austerities, King Kulashekhara in the Mukundamala Stotra, he has given some very nice verses about this. He says, Aradhito yadi hari tapasatatah kim, naradhito yadi hari tapasatatah kim. If you are worshipping aradhita, yesterday we also briefly mentioned aradhita, which means worship. Aradhito yadi hari. If you are worshipping Lord Hari or Krishna, tapasatatah kim, what is the need of performing austerities? Naradhito yadi hari. If you're not worshipping Hari, even then what is the use of performing austerity? There's no use. There's no benefit you're going to get. Antar bahir yadi Hari tapasatatah kim. If you're seeing Hari or Krishna with devotion within you and outside you, what do you need to perform austerities for? Nantar bahir yadi Hari tapasatatah kim. And if you're not seeing Hari within and without, then no use performing austerities. So either way, if you're not a devotee, no use performing austerities. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a little pastime of a brahmachari who lived only on fruit and milk. He was very austere, who wanted to gain entrance into the kirtans that would take place at the house of Shivas Thakur, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be along with his devotees doing kirtan. And by Mahaprabhu's strict instructions, non-devotees were not allowed to come inside. Many people in Navadvip wanted to gain entrance. Some who were absolutely inimical because they just wanted to see what was going on, and some who were curious, and some may have been faithful of sorts, but they were not exactly devotees. So then Mahaprabhu didn't want them to come in. And he had given strict instructions to his devotees. One time, however, there was this young brahmachari who kept approaching Srivas Thakur. Please let me come into the kirtan. I really want to participate. I want to see Mahaprabhu dancing and singing in the kirtan. And Srivas Thakur said, no, 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 Mahaprabhu has given strict orders. We should not allow anybody else. But he said, you know, see, I really want to come. Then Srivas Thakur's heart melted. He said, you know, after all, you know, he's such an honest, pious, simple, honest brahmachari. He wasn't a devotee, by the way, but he was just an austere brahmachari. And, you know, he's celibate and he just lives on fruit and milk. So austere. I'm sure Mahaprabhu wouldn't mind. But in the back of his mind, he was thinking, maybe he will. So he hid him behind some curtains. And he told the brahmachari, don't come out from behind the curtains. You just be there. And then from behind the curtains, you can watch and participate in the kirtan. Of course, Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he understood very well what was happening. But he didn't say anything initially. The kirtan began. Everybody was dancing with great enthusiasm and chanting as well. After some time, Mahaprabhu stopped. He said, I'm not getting the same ecstasy that I usually get when I'm doing kirtan. Is there someone here who's hiding who shouldn't be here? And Srivas Thakur panicked. So he came and spilled the beans. He said, yes, I'm sorry, my lord. I actually got this brahmachari in. But actually, he's such a simple, honest, innocent, and austere brahmachari. He takes only fruit and milk. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was annoyed. He said, do you think that simply by drinking milk, he has the right to come and witness me chanting and dancing? What sadhana has he performed that makes him eligible to come here and participate in these programs? One cannot attain me without surrender. Drinking milk is not the way to come to me. Of course, I must point out here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not against drinking milk, by the way. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not a vegan. You know, so we are all for drinking milk from protected cows, by the way. But what Mahaprabhu wanted to say was that simply by drinking milk and not chanting Hare Krishna, not worshipping the Lord, not serving the devotees or doing any other processes of devotional activities, simply by just being a dugdhahari. Dugdha means milk and ahari means one who eats. So being a dugdhahari, one who subsists on milk, or a phalahari, who subsists only on fruit, that kind of austerity is not the way to obtain Krishna. And then he said that, look, what kind of austerities did Hanuman perform? What kind of austerities did Gajendra the elephant perform? What kind of austerities did the gopis of Vrindavan, the milkmaids of Vrindavan perform? And yet, they are my great devotees. On the other hand, there are many great kings in history who performed severe austerities, but I had to kill them because they were so demoniac. So simply by staying away, just by drinking milk, that's not how we can obtain me and come into my devotional service. So Mahaprabhu went on and on. He was so angry. Srivas Thakur was trembling with rage. And then the brahmachari was hiding behind the curtain, listening to all this. He stumbled out and he fell at the Lord's feet and said, please forgive me, my Lord, please forgive me. But my life is perfect. I have seen you dancing. And he fled from the scene. But Mahaprabhu called him back. And then he placed his lotus feet on the brahmachari's head and blessed him. And he said, I don't want you to become proud of your austerity. So be careful. And now you must perform devotional service under the guidance of my devotees. And then that brahmachari became a devotee. And he got personal mercy from Mahaprabhu like that. So in our devotional service movement, in our process, we also do not perform too much austerity. We perform neither too little austerity nor too much austerity. As Srila Rupa Goswami has explained in the Nectar of Devotion, that if one performs too little austerity, one becomes eligible for the path of karma. One becomes more inclined towards sense enjoyment. and fruitive activity. If one performs too much austerity, then one becomes more inclined towards the path of jnana or speculative spiritual processes. So therefore, our austerities is moderate. It's medium. It's what is necessary to connect us to Krishna. So these are some examples of how too much austerity also is not helpful for us, and how devotional service is ultimately superior to such austerities. The next thing that Kaviraj Goswami is mentioning here is dharma. Dharma referring to religious procedures, as Prabhupada translates it here in the word-for-word meaning. And in the translation, he calls it the so-called religious rituals, which means religious rituals that are performed for fruitive purposes, for the purposes of being comfortable within this material world. And we know the story of the wives of the sacrificial brahmanas of Mathura, between Mathura and Vrindavan, the border areas. When Krishna and Balaram were grazing cows along with their cowherd boyfriends, and they approached Krishna Balaram, the cowherd boys, said, "We are hungry." So Krishna sent them to these brahmanas who were performing various ritualistic sacrifices, and they didn't pay any attention to the brahmanas. On the contrary, they just ignored them completely. And being disappointed, these boys came back to Krishna and Balaram, dejected. And Krishna said, "Now go to the wives of these brahmanas." And they did. And the wives of the brahmanas, just by hearing about Krishna and his qualities, they had become devotees without even seeing him. So they very eagerly gave as much food as they could. Whatever they had, they gave happily to the boys. And then Krishna blessed them with his darshan, and he came personally. And the wives of the brahmanas attained the perfection of their lives. Later, these sacrificial brahmanas, who were engaged in all kinds of religious rituals, began to condemn themselves and say that we were so foolish. You know, to hell with our austerities, to hell with our expertise in chanting mantras, to hell with our ability to perform sacrifices, to hell with our high birth as brahmanas. The Supreme Personality of Godhead came in front of us and we could not recognize him. And we could not offer service to him, whereas our wives, who are not so trained and expert, they have attained the perfection of their life. So they also understood how devotional service was superior to the performance of ritualistic sacrifices and procedures. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in one of the verses, Srila Prabhupada in his purport quotes a verse of Madhavendra Puri in this connection. It's a very nice verse for devotees to learn. Sandhya vandanam bhadramastu bhavato bohusnana tubhyam namo. Madhavendra Puri is saying, Sandhya vandanam, you know, as the brahmanas are supposed to do their sandhya vandana, the chanting of the Gayatri mantra three times a day at the sandhyas, the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. Sandhya vandanam bhadramastu. All glories to you three times chanting. But sorry, I can't three times, you know, my sandhya. Sorry, but I can't do that. Bho snana tubhyam namo. Oh, bathing three times a day. I'm sorry, I can't satisfy you. I can't do what I'm supposed to do in this regard perfectly. Bho deva pitarascha tarpana vidhau naham kshamaha kshamyatam. Oh, demigods, oh, forefathers, kshamaha kshamyatam, please forgive me. I'm not able to offer tarpan, water and other oblations and offerings to you in worship. I can't do that. Because, why? And then he goes on to explain. He says, because he's completely absorbed in the devotional service of Krishna. Yatra kvapi nishadya yadava kulottamasya kansa dvishaha smaram smaram agham harami tad alam kim anyename. He says, as I sit, nishadya, yatra kvapi, whenever I sit down and remember smaram smaram, Yadavakulottamasya, the topmost in the dynasty of the Yadus, Kamsa Dvishaha, the enemy of Kamsa, that is Krishna. Whenever I sit down and remember Krishna, Tad Alam, I think that is sufficient for me. Kim Anyename, what need is there for anything else? Why do I need to do all these ritualistic procedures and sacrifices? No. I am remembering Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa and the Lord of the Yadus, with devotion. And that's enough for me. So Madhavendra Puri, of course, is an associate of the Lord. He is a Param Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And through this he is teaching us how the process of devotional service is sublime, supreme. One doesn't need any other process. So the conclusion, therefore, is that devotional service, bhakti, is supreme to all other processes of jnana, yoga, tapasya, dharma, etc. And all we need to do is to just be in the association of devotees and hear and chant the glories of Krishna, worship the deities, and spread this message of Krishna consciousness everywhere. Thank you very much.